tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Can't touch this.
I wish I could just get up. I know. I want these moves.
We'll definitely pull an opening song from a ridiculous one-off line. Because thank you, Star-Lord.
Hello, this actually isn't a podcast today. It's a dance party.
Hello, Guardians of the Galaxy fans, and welcome to the AfterBuzz TV Guardians of the Galaxy After Show. We are covering episode 6, Undercover Angle. And with me today are the wonderful Alexis Torres.
Hey, everybody. You can find me on social media as atorres890. Actually, kind of hurt.
Are you okay? The stunning Emma Fife.
Yo, I'm Emma Fife. You can follow me all over the internet at Emma Fife.
She's all into it.
She's still dancing.
I'm still throwing down, guys.
And I'm Katie Cullen. You can follow me on Twitter at Kiaxet. That's K-I-A-X-E-T. I am also checking our hashtag, which is ABTVGOTG. And with any luck, we're going to get some functional internet and get the live chat up in here. So we will hopefully be able to see what y'all are saying. Mm-hmm. So what do you guys think of this episode?
Big improvement from last week, in my opinion.
Not a super high bar.
Yeah. No, this is true. In fact, I want to say last week's episode set the bar so low that this episode looked really pretty good. It still had its problems. Overall, I think the biggest problem that I'm having with the series in general is that kind of in lieu of addressing adult topics to make it kind of edgy, all they do is have the characters fight with each other all the time.
Yeah, that's really annoying. It's
annoying because it's like we just have the exact same fight over and over and over again. But overall, funny episode. Yeah. Plot that was broken up nicely into segments that you could understand, and it wasn't just nonstop action.
Yeah.
And Drax is very quickly becoming my favorite character on the show.
That's exactly the first thing I was going to say. I'm like, Drax was just hitting all of the points for me on this one. And also, the pacing of the action was not as jarring.
Yeah, I agree. The pacing
of the action was better, but I think the pacing of the plot overall, I'm starting to feel like someone wrote an outline of all the beats that they want to hit in the season.
Yeah.
And instead of fleshing out that outline, someone took it as a gospel script and is just making it.
Oh my God.
Just like, take it, go, it's good, run. It's like, no, that was an outline. We need to
revise stuff.
We need to flesh things out. Because we had, 2 episodes ago, we introduced Titus. And then last episode, we were like, he might not be all on board. And then this week, it's like, oh, he's a crooked cop. This should have been a plot for the entire season.
Yeah.
We should have thought that he was Javert for like 10 episodes.
I agree.
And then been like, wait, maybe. But it was like 1, 2, 3.
And can I be honest with you? I'm really disappointed that he's not Javert. That's a way more interesting character.
I kind of called it last week, guys.
I agree with you. I feel like we should have, like, not, like, milked it until the end, but, like,
developed it.
Yeah, and also kind of played with it, toyed it back and forth, like
because,
a cat. Like
Because if we'd gone through this whole season thinking that he was
On the up and up, just
horribly, horribly lawful good, so much so that, you know, he's in constant conflict with these chaotic good characters. Yeah. I think it would have been so much more interesting if it wasn't until even 5 episodes from now that we had the reveal that he actually is crooked and not all that he appeared to be when he was first introduced in Space Vegas.
Because it's that, and it's the fact that we have all of the crystals that we need now to make a full map. It's like, that was only, like, 4.
Yeah.
Like, we've only needed 4 crystals. That's why I feel like it's very abbreviated, like someone took the outline and decided it was a script. Otherwise, I feel like this is something that really would have been expanded. Like, we would have spent half the season gathering these crystals and then getting the map. And then, but if we've got a 26-episode order, which I'm not sure how many we have.
Yeah.
But if we have 20, 26 episodes like you usually do in an animated series, this is knocking out a lot of stuff very quickly.
That's why I was confused, because that was my question, was like, how many episodes do we have this season? Because I feel like we're kind of just like, sprinting through the plot right now.
Because I'm pretty sure that there are 26.
I really hope we don't wind up in at least 22.
I would say so. And I just don't understand, because we're in episode 6. Yeah. And I don't know what we're going to do.
And it's almost like, you know, I believe that the nature of this series is that it is intended to be relatively episodic, you know, no matter what way you swing it. However, it could have been story arcs of episodicness, kind of like old Doctor Who serials, where it's like these four episodes cover us trying to find all the Pandorian crystals.
There you go.
And now these episodes are us dealing with the map. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's kind of weird. I mean, I wasn't actually expecting Titus to be in this episode. I thought we were doing a different adventure.
I totally agree. I thought we were going to take a break from that character.
Yeah, and I was like, I feel like we had too much of him.
Yeah.
Too quickly.
We can't really do subtlety with this character. Mm-hmm. We have to lay it all out for the kids, because we don't want them idolizing the cop.
Yeah,
it's like, no. Javert fans are good to go. Okay? You're allowed to like the Javert character.
Yeah.
And it's that much better. And I keep going back to Red versus Blue for this, because Red versus Blue had a really good, you build a character up for a season, he's a mercenary with a heart of gold, he's kind of a jerk, but you're supposed to like him, and you know, you really fall
and you do like him.
And then halfway through the next season, he's been playing you the whole time.
Yes.
And it's one of those reveals where you're like, yes, oh my God, what just happened? And some people are sitting in their little, I knew it, corner.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
some people are sitting, you know, in Egypt. They're so far in denial. So here's, for the most part, it's a really good reveal, because you spent so much time getting to know the persona that this character is putting forward.
Exactly.
And I'm so disappointed that we had an episode of super lawful good cop, and then an episode of, we're not quite sure, and then an episode of, surprise, I'm evil.
God,
just like.
Yeah.
You could done so much more. Make us
believe it, make us
like him, and then destroy us.
And
the kids can get it.
And I also think that this parallels what we're seeing with the series overall, which is that it feels like it is an outline that they just took as gospel, and they're like, let's put all the action in, instead of going, okay, here's a plot point, let's spend some time on it.
Yeah.
Because it's the same thing where, okay, all of a sudden now they have all the Pandorian crystals and they can use the map. So is this storyline going to take just as hard a left as that character did?
Oh,
it's
God,
like they're
not.
Still trying to pace a movie instead of a series.
I'm
yeah,
so
absolutely.
Because at the same time, I also wanted Titus to go through that stage of maybe being a good guy for like a split second and like helping them out. And then eventually we can get that whole like, ha ha, I was a villain the whole time.
I sincerely
wanted him pretending to help them out, and I sincerely wanted him pursuing them because, well, you know, they've got criminal records and this and that and the other, and I know they're not good, as opposed to, I can use them for my evil means. Let's tell the audience.
Yeah.
Like, no.
Here I go into my monologue.
Yeah. Make us think that you're lawful good. Make us think that you're this character.
Yeah.
So some doubt, maybe 10 episodes in, and then either mid-season or season finale, boom, turn.
Right.
Destroy the audience.
So now
there's a craft to this.
So now I'm trying to figure out who is our villain now. Because, I mean, technically
Thanos?
Thanos has always been the big cheese. But, I mean, at the same time, I was like, so is that like we're just going to focus on Thanos
now? I know. I think that they really missed an opportunity to tell an interesting story with Titus being a good guy, bad guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Good guy, bad guy.
Yeah.
And then he turns out being, he was in it for himself all along.
Yeah, he was just a selfish jerk face.
Yeah. What a douche.
From the get-go.
That was the biggest disappointment of the episode for me, is that we had this plot that could have been.
Fast.
Oh, exactly. It came early.
Yeah.
And now it's done.
But, do we think he's going to get out?
Oh, I'm sure he will.
Okay. I mean, wondering if this was the end of Titus, if he's coming back.
If that was the end of Titus, it's more of a colossal waste than it already is.
Yeah.
There's no way that is the end of this.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I just wanted to get some feedback, because I was like, there's no way that this is just done right. Like, we didn't just wrap this up in a bow and then just move on, because that would suck.
I sure hope not. Yeah. I mean, even though I'm disappointed with the direction the character has gone in, it would be even more disappointing to see them not do anything with that.
Exactly.
We made this character to sell toys, and now we're putting him back on the show.
I'm sorry. Even though he's a baddie, I would love a plushie of him. I think he's adorable. just to
cuddle with him.
You squeeze it and it says, you're under arrest.
Yeah. No, it'll just say that we are Nova. Oh, no, that's Drax line. But it would be really funny if Titus was like, we are Nova Corps. We are all Nova Corps.
I am Nova Corps. We are all Nova Corps.
Drax, the method actor, is wonderful.
What is my motivation?
There was an old Saturday Night Live sketch called Master Thespian.
Yes!
I feel like that was it. I was acting! Yes.
I loved when Quill explained acting to him. He's like, no, it's acting.
You believe the lie.
Yeah, you switch it on, and then you switch it off. And he's like, I am not equipped with such a switch.
I was just like, am I equipped with such a switch? Well, and I can't wait to get off the conversation. Like, Gamora's just like, oh, for the love of God.
Yeah, well, and what I really liked, I think that Drax really was the shining star.
He did shine in this episode.
Because this is the first episode where they really spent a lot of time playing with how literally Drax takes everything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like he's a little... I feel like they played it up a little too much, almost. Like, he's more on the ball than that.
I don't know. I didn't mind it.
Yeah, no. I mean, because we've been asking for Drax to kind of pull out his comedic timing. He just took his box of comedic timing and just, like, poured it all over this episode. It was great.
The last 15 seconds of the episode were hands down. I was definitely sitting there just channeling Gravity Falls. Get him! Get him!
I loved it.
I love what we got in the chat.
I know.
Mr. Goku Jr. saying, I was hoping Titus would be our discount Zuko for the series.
Yeah, oh, well. That's what I'm saying.
No, it would have been perfect.
That would have been. Not even just the discount Zuko. I would have gone with discount Felix if we're doing the red versus blue stuff. If we're gonna go for straight up betrayal, do it. It was beautiful. Do it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, and Serenity's saying, surprised so many people are surprised at Titus. I read the comics, so I know he's a bad dude with a cool design.
But I mean,
it's not that we're surprised, it's that we're disappointed.
Yeah. And I'm surprised that it happened so early in there. And also, not everybody, especially myself, knew that he was going to be a baddie. I was hoping that he could, milk that for the whole season. So I know some kids probably have no idea that there's a comic book series.
I was going to say, I feel like a solid majority of the kids watching don't know.
Yeah. And this is definitely aimed at the people who watched the movie and wanted more.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So that's those of you who've read the comics, you've definitely got a one up for some of the plot points, but it's also an inclusive series for those who haven't. And so for those of us who haven't, it's very disappointing. It's like if they introduced him at the beginning of an issue as Javert, and then at the end of the issue you're like, no, he's just a jerk. Like, wow, that was... That didn't go anywhere.
Well, not to be a little bit more off topic, but I was thinking the same thing with Quill. I feel like he was kind of all over the place this episode. I don't know if that was just me.
He spent the whole series all over the place.
Well, I know that, but I feel like this one was really it was a little off for him.
I feel like I was so back and forth with him in this episode where there were moments of, oh, I really like what he's doing in this episode, and then moments of no.
I just feel like so far with the show, it's like the team versus Quill.
A little bit.
And sometimes it's the team versus Rocket versus Quill.
Yeah. I feel like we're singling that one person out for the episode, and then the team is against it. Yeah. But it's mostly a majority 80-20, maybe 90-10 Quill.
I feel like a lot of the annoyance that I have with the characters stems from Quill and Rocket's interaction in particular, and both of their interaction with all the other people on the team.
Written as flat. We're back to the outline thing. It's like, here's the surface layer for all of our characters.
Right.
And here's the depth. Well, Gamora and Drax, they are depth. Like, you can't just say, oh, they're surface this. They are backstory driven.
They're complicated characters.
So,
yeah.
And Groot is Groot. And you can just kind of fit him wherever because for the most part, he's Groot.
Yeah.
But Rocket and Quill, you really do have a surface layer, and then it's a little you have to dig a bit, yes, to get to the backstory and to get to the emotion and to get to what really makes them tick. And this is a series that hasn't bothered digging.
I have to agree with Renji on this one, where it says Titus isn't just a bad cop; he's a lying, cheating, corrupt cop.
Yeah.
Yes.
But no. So saith Rocket.
Yeah. No, but I feel the same way, and I feel like now that we got a little bit more of Drax's personality and his whole thing, I think Gamora needs an episode, because I feel like she's mostly just been a butt kicker, a sassy lady, and then that's it.
The best thing we had from her, and I think this is so far the best moment in the series, was in Space Vegas with the "What makes you think I had nothing to do with your wife and child?"
Yes.
Is like, oh, you're like, my God. Yeah,
that was the one moment where I was just like,
you know,
take
what it
this,
is?
Do more.
You know
more.
What it is? It was really nice to see her make such a strong, albeit terrible, choice.
Yes.
Yes. I agree. It just, and it works. She knew what buttons to push, and it worked a little too well.
I agree. That's the thing, is I feel like
they need to address that.
And these characters do
leave it on the table.
And these characters will do like crappy things to each other, and then there's no consequences.
It's just like, oh, well, this happened.
They're just kind of mean to each other. And we move on.
I mean, I know, and that's where we get the episodic part of things.
Yeah. And I understand that's what they're trying to do, is that these guys are not like, I mean, they're not supposedly good, like, heroes. Like, that's not what they are. They're, you know, low lives, as Titus would say. But I feel like that's what makes them a good team. And that's what we all love about these guys, is that the fact that they're not typical gun-ho shiny looking heroes.
So,
you can have a team of low lives and still have them be awesome. I mean,
let's
look at
absolutely.
One Piece.
Yeah.
Exactly. One Piece has a team of pirates, and you're like, mine. All of them.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I will support them.
Well, that's what I'm hoping, that this will eventually get to that point, because right now it's kind of like they're just at each other's throats.
That's what I was going to say. It's like right now, the way that they're choosing to make these characters not shiny, perfect, good guys is to just have them fight with each other all the time.
And it's kind of
we don't have to do that.
No.
I mean, we have Star-Lord's gray morality, and we have Rocket's pragmatism, and God bless, we have Groot.
Right.
We have... Again, Drax being very straightforward and not understanding a lot of nuance. And we have Gamora, who is all nuance. There's so much that you can play with here, but we don't bother play. This is why we're so hard in this show, you guys. It has so much potential. And we can
see
the potential. And instead it just sits down and doesn't do anything.
And guys, we don't hate the show.
We just want it to be better.
Yeah.
It's like when your child is earning C's and you know they're an A
capable
student.
Capable of A's, absolutely.
That was like me.
And it's not
all
just, my child is very smart. It's like, no, I've seen you do better. I don't understand.
Yeah.
Let me help you.
Yeah,
this is what we're doing.
And that is really what it is it, you know, it stems from frustration, especially when you're seeing other shows on the same network that
Gravity Falls.
Like Gravity Falls or Star Wars Rebels. That have these incredibly complicated stories with very high stakes and very flawed characters, but in a realistic way that, you know, they're not shiny and perfect, but they're not constantly fighting with one another either.
I agree.
And then also Tron Uprising,
which
didn't stick around for long, but it was the same, based on a movie, had some of the same characters, developed other things. It was not afraid to go dark places.
Yeah.
And the thing is, Guardians doesn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need it to be super dark and depressing.
No,
that is,
it's
not Batman. That's not its jam.
No,
it's not.
But
its jam.
We need more than just the surface level. They're fighting all the time. Isn't that funny? Ha ha.
Yeah, because
it's not funny.
It's not funny at all. It's kind of getting like, all right, we're
super
getting
old
here.
Yeah,
and it's a disservice to these very well crafted characters.
Two things from the chat, Mr. Goku 2012. This show needs its own Vicious from Cowboy Bebop.
Yep.
Yes. Also, Renji. I absolutely know Outlaw Star, and it's true. Like, Outlaw Star felt
Outlaw
Star felt like a little bit of a cheap Cowboy Bebop.
Yes, yes, yes.
And because it was the same thing where, you know, the characters were they often resorted to the characters disagreeing with one another. Not to the extent that Guardians is, because Outlaw Star was intended for adults, but still.
Well, and Outlaw Star also had a very good overarching plot.
It did,
even in the fun little one-off episodes. Advanced the plot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But as far as tone goes, as far as humor, as far as action, it is very similar to Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, it's not dissimilar at all. And I think
it's got a plan and it's got pacing.
Yeah.
And we don't really have
I was gonna
that.
Say, yeah. I feel like if Guardians if Guardians, if the people making Guardians like looked at Outlaw Star and went, okay, this is what we want to do, but let's make it for kids. So like, let's tone down the sexy stuff.
But that's, oh, well, okay. Yeah. When they, when they put on Cartoon Network, that's basically what they did. Yeah. And they cut a very plot heavy episode because it was a Hot Springs episode. Yes. And I was like, yeah, things in Japanese culture that do not translate. But yeah,
oh, God.
Outlaw Star hits a lot it of really the same does. Beats as Guardians of the Galaxy.
God, now I really want to watch Outlaw Star.
Yeah, that's the first thing I was thinking
I have
of.
All of it on DVD.
Me too. Yeah. We should do a party. It'll be great. Yay. We'll just sit down and watch Outlaw Star. It's
well,
a lot
no, but
of fun.
I completely agree. As much as fans don't hate me, mm-hmm. but I just watched Blue Exorcist for the first time. And watching that to watching this, I was like, oh, man, I know a lot of people were like half and half of Blue Exorcist, which is weird to me because I thought it was great. And then watching another animated show, which I'm like super into,
yeah.
it just kind of made me really disappointed because I actually really like yeah. everything
well,
about
yeah.
Blue
just
Exorcist.
Comparing to, we just came off of Robots in Disguise.
Right, right. Exactly.
So we've all got that fresh on the brain. Mm-hmm. And that is another one that is, here's our premise, very episodic, mm-hmm. ragtag crew thrown together. No, they are not going to get along all the time.
No.
And occasionally it's like, just sit down
and
be
talk
friends.
About
oh
it.
My God.
yeah.
But they were very good at developing
they,
the characters.
They were. They
and
really
it
were.
It didn't have to be, oh, they're fighting and it's funny. It's, oh, they're fighting and it ties into the episode
right.
and we learn a lesson and it sticks.
Exactly.
Yeah. Nothing has stuck.
Exactly. Yeah. They're fighting, it's uncomfortable, and there are consequences for your actions.
Exactly. And this is a show, I miss Wilfred Ella's Bumblebee. I'm not super fond of Wilfred Ella's Star-Lord.
I know.
Because I want to throttle Star-Lord.
Yeah, yeah. And Bumblebee
and
was
I only
so
wanted
endearing.
To throttle me occasionally.
Yeah, yeah you know. Yeah. Well. Yeah, I Serenity Q26 was saying that that you know I'm assuming she correct me if I'm wrong.
I'm saying that's how they treated Black Widow.
Yeah,
on Avengers Assemble, she was barely used and was missing from lots
yes,
of episodes.
Yeah,
from what I remember, she started off on the opposite side of the team for quite a few things.
Yeah.
But then again, I never made it all the way through Avengers Assemble, so
yeah,
they did
either.
Something different with her.
Yeah, yeah, and you know that is again in reference to Gamora being underutilized.
No, and
yeah.
I'm,
we need a Gamora episode that is, if there's a parasite on her face that makes her see her sins.
Yeah.
And I was like, this
okay,
is
thank you.
Yeah, we could've really gone somewhere with that.
And we didn't.
Nope.
At all.
Again, it was an outline thing.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm just hoping since it is episode 6 and we don't know how many episodes are in this season that we'll get a little bit more meat in the
yeah.
next few episodes. I'm hoping.
I'd forgive the pacing if we had like 10 or 12 episodes. But I feel like we have been confirmed for a season 2.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A few weeks ago.
Aware.
Like, that's going to be a thing.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
Maybe they'll get it right in season 2.
I don't know.
Who knows?
I'm wondering what we're going to do in season 1 for the rest of this season
I'm
if
curious.
We've already hit this much.
Because
we have the Cosmic Seed, and we have another reason for Thanos to go after them. They wind up with Ronan's hammer.
Yeah, which was crazy to me.
With the whatchamacallit weapon, the universal weapon.
The
there
universal
we
weapon.
I'm trying to figure out who
I feel like it's a remote control.
I don't,
yeah. I don't know. I just thought it was so crazy to me because I was like, wait, so they found it. And it was buried in what? I'm so confused.
Oh, I think it was the Black Order that
buried
it. They put it there for safekeeping.
Right.
And they just had somebody else, well, dig it up
have
for them.
Have them dig it up.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about the Black Order.
Yeah.
So when they get arrested for breaking into NovaCorps headquarters and pulling off a rescue for a ship that was going down.
I really liked that rescue scene,
cute.
By the way.
That was hysterical. Yeah.
That was cute. It was funny.
I just love how Drax, said his line and just jumped out of the plane.
I was like, what?
I have no more
just
core.
Because you'll survive the fall doesn't mean your cargo will, and you left mom and dad on board. Like, oh, honey, you tried.
I mean, at least he tried. He could have just been like, because I was really upset that Quill was just like, it's not our call. And I was crap?
I was
like, no, you're there, and they think you're NovaCorps.
You
and congratulations,
you're
now a part of this.
Yeah, you just need to accept it and roll with it.
Yeah.
And that's
you
exactly what Drax did.
You want to be heroes and outlaws? This is the heroes part of it.
Yeah, that's the first thing. I was like, that's the one thing that really pissed me off about Quill was that, and obviously dealing with this ex on... what's her name?
Like Supergiant?
Oh, the Supergiant, That whole thing was handled so terribly.
Everyone is Quill's ex.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
that,
we get it. He's had a lot of
one night stands.
Yeah,
we
get
understand.
A lot of lovers. We can move on from that now. I was just hoping that that was going to be just a random person.
Yeah, Mr. Goku says, Star-Lord really doesn't have a type, does he?
No. Yes, he does. Female.
Two
again,
legs
just,
as a female.
Not necessarily. We had tentacles.
Oh, yeah, we had tentacles last time. I forgot about that one.
But it's just one of those things where it's like, again, we're just hitting the surface here.
Yeah.
We have Playboy Jerk with... supposed to have a heart of gold, but the way he's acting, we're not.
I was like, I haven't seen a piece of that.
I'm not sure about the heart of gold.
I have not seen that at all.
We tried to do a little bit of that with the Groot thing last episode, but that wasn't super.
That was a lot of chipping away to get to that heart of gold. That was rough.
You need a sledgehammer for that.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, maybe.
And then we narrated over the very powerful moments so the kiddies could understand what was going on. I wish this show would give children more credit.
I know.
I really do. And this is just going back to, again, I sat through Armada, and that was my mistake.
I love how you always bring that up.
Armada had
it breaks my soul every
one
time.
One of the best Star Screams I've ever seen, not going to lie.
Yeah.
Star Scream was great, but the whole series was just like, oh, why did I do that? But it's the same thing where when they dubbed the series, they narrated everything. They talked over everything. They explained everything because we need the children to understand it. Kids are so much smarter than that, and we have gone so much further than 90s and mid-2000s dubbing. We've gotten better, and this series seems to be stuck in the mid-2000s when we had to explain everything to children. They're so much smarter than we think they are.
Because you look at something like Rescue Bots, which is intended for young children.
4 to 6-year-olds.
And
tiny children.
And it doesn't need to fill every second with action and explanation.
Yeah. And it's really good at letting a moment rest.
Yeah.
So it's just,
I don't know.
Yeah. We're now comparing this show to a show made for 4-year-olds.
I mean, I'm just saying that even when we were kids back in the 90s, a lot of our shows had
Gargoyles. We were the age of Gargoyles.
Thank you. Like that.
Gargoyles gave us Xanatos.
Yeah. No, and that's what I'm saying is that the fact that cartoons back in the day, even though I was 4 or whatever, any cartoon that was on, I still understood the majority of stuff. And if I didn't, I go, hey, mom and dad, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
And hey, look at that. Yeah. Parents bonding with their kids and teaching them stuff.
Oh, yeah. I think my mom liked Gargoyles better than I did.
My mom was all about Goof Troop and Gargoyles.
And for this generation, we've got Phineas and Ferb, which is really good at grabbing the younger kids. And then, hey, mom, is an aglet really the thing on the end of your shoelace? And oh, we learned a new word today.
Yeah.
Also really good at grabbing the parents with just some of the stuff that Doof said. It was like, that went right over my child's head, but there is literally a party in his pants right now.
Yeah, no, for real.
An actual party with dancing.
I also know what is going on. One of the writers from Phineas and Ferb. He was very upfront about the fact that they would try to get as much adult content past Disney as they could. So.
And it's easy to do with Doof.
Oh, yeah.
But again, shows that have gotten very good at here's for the kids, here's for the adults, neither of it feels like pandering.
Yeah.
Guardians is trying to run the middle line with explaining everything to the kids, but ongoing jokes about Quill's sex life, and neither of them is working.
Yeah, I agree.
No, I don't like it.
I agree.
I just every time I think of something that could be a good balance for both the parents and their kids, I always think of like Animaniacs or something, like good idea, bad idea. I mean, obviously to us, it's kind of like, oh wow, there's a lot of things wrong with Animaniacs, but when you were a kid.
Fingerprints.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. See, but like, that's what I'm saying, is that it was enough of an example that we enjoyed it as kids, but our parents were like,
So because these characters are so surface level, particularly Quill, I found the plot line in this episode where they were like Jedi mind tricking him.
Oh yeah.
I didn't care. You know what I mean?
Telekinesis.
I was like, of course.
These are not the droids you're looking for.
Yeah. I loved the improvisation though, after it's like, oh, you need to confess a secret, and he tells him, yeah, we're undercover for the Nova Corps, and everyone else steps in. Please, I was trained by Thanos. Please, I'm just going to do things. I am Groot.
Yes.
And I am acting. I love that they all did that and that they immediately improvised, turned on Quill and went, oh, yeah, no, they told us that there was going to be a Nova Corps spy and we wanted to warn you.
Yeah.
So, and we hear about this, but there's a thing. And, like,
they were so smart.
Yeah.
And that's what I like about
that. No, I really enjoyed that moment. And I think it was, you know, when Quill was being, quote unquote, mind controlled, you weren't really like rooting for him because you're you've been nothing but an idiot whole series, basically.
I haven't been rooting for Quill this whole time.
I was actually rooting for Drax to beat him up at the
end. Me too?
Get him!
It's all I wanted was just like, just throw him around a little more. It's okay.
And I loved that Drax figured out what acting was.
I know!
You were still acting. You were still under mind control, right? Nope, I was totally acting.
And like, then just,
oh honey, he's gonna beat you.
Yeah, like, why would you... I don't know.
Because like, he's Star-Lord and he's in the right. And Shut up. It's the fake confidence thing. It's like you're a grown man with this horrific fake confidence and it's not attractive in real life and it's not ingratiating. Is ingratiating the word I'm looking for?
Endearing.
Yeah.
Ingratiating is like annoying.
I mean, that's exactly what Quill is, so I will take the word. Okay. That is acceptable to the judges, yes.
And ding!
Exactly. But yeah, I just, I want so much more from this show, and I feel like they're just like poking us with a stick, like, nah.
I feel like a lot of these are, would I hang out with you? Would I hang out with you? It's like, if I don't see them as an actual person, why would I want to watch it as a character on
the
show? Yeah. Like Groot, yes. Drax, yes. Yes. Gamora, yes. Yeah. I would not hang around Rocket. I would not hang around Star-Lord.
No.
God, no.
Yeah.
Whereas movie Star-Lord, I would still be like, maybe. You're interesting, but I'm worried. But animated Star-Lord is like, oh my God, get me out of here.
Yep. I'm actually confused how animated Star-Lord has managed to hook up with all these girls that he's supposedly hooked up with.
Because canon said so.
Yeah, I was like, that's not fair.
And because I guess smooth talking will get you a one night stand and then he never follows up.
His smooth talking so far has been crap.
It's been really bad.
It's been really bad. Then again, I'm like, how do you get all these women? You
know, it's this fake confidence and it's going up against, we saw, people who are a lot better at the manipulation game than he is. He has an overinflated sense of self. Ugh. And again, he has that in the movie.
He does have that in the movie.
But it's also tempered with, I know exactly what I am capable of, and I know exactly how to push buttons.
And nothing against Will Friedle, but I feel like Chris Pratt delivered the lines in a way that made him look like he was actually kind of smart.
Yeah.
And then this one, not so much.
You know, 12% of a plan in the movie is like, oh, honey, you're trying. And 12% of a plan here is like,
12% of a plan.
And 12% of a plan for animated Star-Lord is like, oh my God, shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a difference in execution. And I think it's writing and directing.
I do too. I really, really do. I think that I feel like I'm really harping on this, but the series really doesn't know what to do with Rocket and Star-Lord in particular.
Yeah. And we see them, you know, giving each other grief in the movie, but it was, oh, I had you steal that guy's leg because it was the funniest thing possible.
Right. Yeah.
He's just like, really?
Yeah.
Really?
And then they drop it.
And then we kind of move on.
Yeah.
Like, because
don't bring it up.
He got me. Okay, well, I'm going to get you back next time, but we have priorities, like, not, you know.
Dying?
Why do you want to save the universe? Because I'm one of the idiots who lives in it.
Yeah.
Like, that's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't feel like animated Star-Lord would give us that answer.
Nope. Yeah. I did like the fight that they had though at the end.
I thought it was so awesome
with the Black Order
fight choreography.
Yeah, and then
Titus showing up and these are not the hammer and then just going with it.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
And then just them, you know, I love it when it's we have two opposite sides and then we team up again. I'm like, yes, yes, I want this. So for you know that few minutes, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were still grousing at each other and making fun, and Rocket especially, you know, I'd work with you, but I don't want to have to look at you.
Mm-hmm.
Just and that worked.
Yeah, no, it did. Yeah, this episode had a lot of good moments.
Mm-hmm. It did.
I agree.
We just need a little work on the frame.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because the frame is a little too condensed for it to work.
No, I completely agree.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we have the Black Order introduced, and from what we've seen about chat talking about them, I am sure they will come back in some capacity.
Oh, yeah.
Because you don't go, they're this really big arms-dealing group, and they really know their stuff, and we can't send in actual Nova Corps people, or they'll find out.
Yeah.
Well, they found out because they have a guy with the power of suggestions. So.
Yep.
Power of suggestions. They also look slightly less like contestants on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Thank you.
Only slightly.
Thank you. I was kind of like, what is happening here? I think I have that outfit somewhere. In my closet. I don't know what's going on.
And they're just really interesting conversations, really good parallels between some of the members of the Order and some of the members of the Guardians.
Yeah, I enjoyed them.
And then we have Ronan's hammer showing up again.
That was so
crazy
to me.
Staying with our characters.
Mm-hmm.
So we have another reason for Thanos to hunt him down because they were initially going to deliver that back to Thanos.
Yep. That was the plan.
Yeah.
And didn't work out.
Ooh.
So he is going to be sitting there going, okay, where's my delivery? What happened? You answer for it. Who has it? Oh, those guys? Okay, I'll punish you later, but I still need to hunt them down because they have this other thing that I want. So now he's probably going to double down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is not a good situation to be in.
No.
Mm-mm. Nope.
Mr. Goku thinks that we need more Grimlock.
I'm sorry. I will take any series and add so much Grimlock.
Yeah, just make anything better. Any series would be improved by Grimlock.
I completely agree.
Oh my god, now I'm getting
I love Grimlock so much.
Well, I think that's our favorite line from chat for today. Did we have a favorite line in the episode? Did anyone write anything down?
Favorite line in the episode? Just Drax.
Drax is on point.
Yeah.
I did love, you may be the hammer man, but you still can't touch this.
It was hence why.
Sort of fun.
I just wanted to just grab my like slipper and just like throw it at the TV. I was like, I'm so done with you, but it was really funny.
It was funny.
No, Drax was on point the whole time.
Yeah, and the switch between like I am Nova Corps. We are Nova Corps too. I hate Nova Corps. We all hate Nova Corps.
And then just leaning over Quill, I'm acting. Is it convincing? Yes. Like, oh my god.
And then he's like, too convincing. Like, falls over. Yes. Bless. Oh man, no, that whole scene was like, from like that when they met the Black Order until the very end of the episode was like my favorite the whole time.
Yeah.
And I loved the throwdown. I loved the last 15 seconds of, oh no, I'm going to destroy you now.
Yeah. Yes. That was awesome.
Yeah. So yeah, do we have any predictions or have we just kind of mainlined all of them with the, this series is episodic, what do?
I can't think of a prediction because I don't know what to expect for the next one. I'm kind of like, I could say something, and then it's like, we're on a totally different thing. And I'm like,
Well, and we're running through plot points so quickly that it's hard to look at a long game.
Yeah.
Like, our long game is the cosmic cube, but we thought our long game was going to be gathering Pandorian crystals and then finally getting the map, like, halfway through the season or at
the end. Is anyone else so disappointed that it was only 4 shards?
Oh, yeah.
And that we found them within 6 episodes?
Yeah.
We spent 300 episodes finding shards of the Shikon Jewel. I think we could spend more than 4 finding episodes of the Pandorian crystals.
That was the first thing I thought of. I was like, the Shikon Jewel took, like, so many freaking times.
Anime ended before we found
them. I know. Like, I'm so
that's
irritated.
The other extreme, and that is a problem.
Yes.
But we are going towards the crank everything up really quickly and let's just I'm burn just like, through there's it. Like, gonna don't, be, do that. If, don't do that.
If, I mean, if we're looking at 26 episodes, which I'm pretty sure we are,
I don't know.
There's going to be an awful lot of plot.
But I don't
Has to be for the rate that we're going.
Yeah. But it also doesn't make sense because I don't even know what order we're kind of going in at this point. Yeah. Because if we found all the shards, technically
now
our second rate villain.
Yeah. And I mean, we could potentially turn the episodes to being, okay, the map says we need to go to, but I don't see how the map is going to send them on a multiple destination wild goose chase in the way that the crystals could. Yeah.
I'm worried that we're going to do a lot of, like, if anyone ever watched the Slayers series, like, we're definitely hitting all the anime up in here tonight, you guys. We're having a grand old time.
We'll just give you a list.
The Slayers would do, like, 8 episodes of plot. Oh, we are getting
wrap up.
Man, we are off top.
Did not even know we were talking for that
plot,
long.
Filler desert, end game.
Right.
And I'm worried that that's what we're going to get here because Filler Desert and Slayers was fun because the characters were hysterical.
Yeah.
And Filler Desert here is going to be hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I don't
want it.
I don't know.
So, I'm going to hope that we have something else that we're pulling out here.
And again, we're reiterating, we love this show.
No, yeah.
We do.
Just
it
want
could
more.
Do much better. Yes. We want it to do better.
Yeah, that's it.
And on that note, Alexis, where can the people find you?
You can find me all over social media as atorres890.
And you can find me, Emma Fife, all over the internet at Emma Fife.
I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram at Kiaxet. That's K-I-A-X-E-T. And on Snapchat at Kia Prime. I am also on 8 bazillion shows on this network, like Star Wars Rebels and Blindspot and Z Nation. And Ruby starts next week.
Woo-hoo!
I'm so excited. So yeah, thank you guys so much for watching. Thank you for everyone that participated in the chat and the hashtag. Feel free to leave comments in the hashtag. We do check it during the week. And we will see you guys next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com.
I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.